So I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to just open them right now. Don't stand just yet, but just open them to James chapter 3. And if you guys will put up the title page, I've titled the message today, Unifying Faith 2. And I'll give you an explanation here in just a moment. Last week, I dealt with unifying faith. And to be real honest with you, when I'm preaching something, and I know that I've got two parts to it, I normally preach the negative first and preach the positive second. But the way God had me do it was last week we preached on the positive. We preached on what a unifier looks like. Today we want to kind of focus on the negative, but we'll end in a positive way. We want to focus today on the opposite of a unifier, and that's a divider. But last week we talked about unifiers, and we said that unifiers work to restore those in sin. We said that unifiers do not rush to the judgment of others. Unifiers are always mindful of their own sin. Unifiers help carry the load of others. And unifiers are motivated by love. And we made the statement, bold statement out of Galatians, taking it straight from the Word of God, that unity is very important to God. The unity of His people, the unity of families. Because think about it, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, right? It's the enemy who comes to drive a wedge and create division among people. I mean, just look at what's going on in the country. And we know that what's going on in the country and the division that's being created is energized by demonic activity, because it puts people against each other. I mean, you think about it. We're supposed to be one nation under God, but now all of a sudden we have people that want to divide people by ethnicity, and we have people that want to divide others, and there's always been people like that, but now we're, you know, it's almost like our nation has to be divided by skin color, by ethnicity, by religious affiliation. And so you see all of this going on in our country. Now, I'm not saying that we should go for unity at all costs, because I'm not willing to unify with people who believe that it's okay to mutilate children to mutilate children's reproductive system. Let's put it to you that way. And this week, within the United States Congress, there was a hearing to confirm this guy who thinks he's a woman, and his name, he calls himself Rachel Levin, or Levine, and that person's going to be the Assistant Secretary of Health in the United States of America, and that person believes that it's okay to allow a child beginning at 4 years old to change their sexual identity. They believe in hormone blockers and radical surgery and things of that nature. I'm not wanting to be unified with a person like that, but you can see that the person that's causing the division is unified from a, not unified, is motivated by demonic activity, because we know it goes against the Word of God. So we talked about unity and what unity means to the body of Christ and how important it is. Today what I want to talk about is dividers. And I think this will help you and me, not just in the church, but it'll help us know within our own families who are being used of Satan, who are trying to cause division. It'll help us at work to have a better understanding on how to deal with a person who has an earthly mindset versus a heavenly mindset, and what the Bible says about that. So we're going to identify what a divider looks like, and in essence, it will help us to be able to deal with those situations that we encounter. So I want you to take your Bible, stand with me, and we're going to go to James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. So the Bible says there are two kinds of wisdom. So the Bible says this in verse 13 of James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Now, to be real honest with you, that's what we talked about last week. Unifiers, making decisions, treating people based on good deeds and the right life, living it from a biblical perspective. Verse 14 says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom, and the word wisdom here should be in quotations in your Bible. It's false wisdom. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now verses 17 and 18 are a sermon all to themselves, so we're going to talk about it but not dive into that as much, maybe next week. But I want to talk about what a divider looks like. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Help us today to be able to see how Satan would like to use us to cause division, how he uses others, and how we can get caught up in that. So help us not to get caught up in it. Help us to see that it goes against Christ in his way, and it creates nothing but chaos, division, disunity among people. Help us to be peacemakers and people full of heavenly wisdom. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Dividers. I want to jump right into it. Number one, I want you to see this. Dividers harbor envy and bitterness within their hearts. Now, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about a divider. It's the kind of person that maybe in an office is always trying to create wedges between people. You've been alive long enough, you know that. Maybe in school, you have found out the hard way that maybe your friend isn't really your friend at all, that your friend has been working behind your back, and in essence, you feel like that person has stabbed you in the back. But they're not just stabbing you in the back. They're stabbing other people in the back. They're causing chaos, drama, division, and all kinds of things. You've ever been around somebody like that? Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. So really, to get down to the heart of it, we see this. The Bible says in verse 14, it says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. So right here we see in Scripture that a divider, a person that divides friends, a person that divides people, really they are harboring some issues within their lives. They harbor envy and bitterness deep within their hearts. Now where did that come from? I believe it comes from this. I believe a person that harbors bitterness or envy within them, usually at some point in their life, somebody hurt them somewhere along the way. Somebody injured them. Somebody wronged them. And I want to say this to you. In this life, somebody's going to wrong you. Every human being that walks on the face of the earth will get done dirty by somebody. It's coming. So, preacher, that hadn't happened to me. Keep living. It's coming. It's going to happen. And what happens is this. For most non-Christians and for very weak Christians, they allow that unforgiveness to take root deep within their heart. In other words, somebody's wronged them and it hurts. Let me ask you this. When you've been wrong, did it hurt? You darn right it hurt. If it didn't hurt, it wouldn't be an issue. But it hurt. It bewildered you. It made you feel like, hey, I got to put my fist up. We got to defend ourselves. We got to fight. And sometimes we retaliate in that way. I have. But what happens is this, is that you keep waiting for that person to get theirs. You want to pay back. And all of a sudden you decide that they did you wrong, so they're evil, they are evil incarnate, and you're going to live the rest of your life wanting them to get theirs. I grew up. My grandmother had a brother who lived two doors down from her house. I never spoke to him as long as he was alive. And as I grew up, I began to understand that there was a problem there. And so I asked my grandmother, why don't you speak to Uncle Gus? And to this day, I don't remember what the issue was. And she told me, and I don't remember what it was. And so there was an ongoing feud between my grandmother and her brother, my grandmother's kids, and Uncle Gus's kids and family, and on and on and on. And to be honest with you, I went to school with Gus's grandchildren, and we were not enemies. We talked to each other, but we always knew that our families are not supposed to get along because of some wrong that was done. And one day, I don't remember how old I was, but one day, Gus's wife and daughter found my grandmother in the yard while she was picking up pecans and beat her up and broke her arm. Yeah. And I'm glad at the time I didn't fully understand all that was going on, because if I would have, I'd have probably gone and blown up their house. You see, we had a man that lived in the front of our street whose wife did me dirty when I was a boy. I was playing football with her grandson. And her grandson, who's now passed away, so I'm not going to talk too bad about him, but her grandson stole my football. It was a brand new football that I got. And he took off running with it. And I ran after him, and I went to where he went to, and he went to his grandmother's garage, and I went over there, and he disappeared. I was looking for my football. And out comes his grandmother with a paint stick. Now, you have to understand that back in the day, paint sticks weren't thin as paper like they are today. The little mixing sticks, they were thick. Almost the size of a 1x4. They were thick. And she walked out with one of those paint sticks, and she goes, oh, and I see her grandson behind her standing, and she said, oh, Corey's the problem here. And she grabbed me by the shirt, and from the bottom of my heels to the top of my neck, she wore me out with that and put whelps all over my body. And when I went home to show my mama, whoa, World War III started. Mama came over there. I had to hold Mama back. Mama was just ready to kill that lady. Rightfully so, right? Mom went home. Dad was at work. He got home from work. When he got home from work, the woman who wore me out, her husband came to talk to my dad, and he said this in French. He said, your wife is like a piment rôti. And he said to my daddy, he said, your wife is like a red hot pepper. And from that day on, because of what that woman did to me, I hated those people. I shot their house with a shotgun. I don't know. I don't remember. By then, it wasn't about the football. I threw rotten eggs and rotten potatoes at their house. I did all kinds of stuff. I hated those people. One day we were, Mama was bringing us to school, and as you know, if you know anything about Louisiana, there are potholes everywhere, and anytime it rains, there are gigantic holes, and the husband of that woman was walking on the side of the street, and Mama just so happened by accident to hit a pothole. I mean, it drenched him. He threw rocks at our back window, shattered the back window of a station wagon. I got out, and only God stopped me from killing him. I didn't put my hands on him, but it came that close. We hated those people. We would wake up every day, and we had to pass by their house. And it had become deep within us. It was part of who we were as a family. We hated them all. What we didn't realize was that bitterness and envy, they buy a new car, we were envious of them because they were evil people in our minds, and we thought they should get what was coming to them. And it was deep within us. But something supernatural happened. I got saved. Then my brother got saved. Then our family got saved. And as I was leaving to go into the ministry, there was one thing that was undone that I needed to go and take care of. And now I'm a grown man, and I go knock on their door. And when they see me, they gasp, thinking I'm wanting to go fight with them. And I'm like, no. And I asked them to forgive me, and I forgave them, and we made our peace at that moment. And my mother, being a very new Christian, she goes, why did you go do that? And I said, you will understand if you'll grow in Christ. And she did. Because, see, for the Christian, you can't harbor envy. I mean, you can't harbor unforgiveness in your heart and expect it not to do damage. It's going to take up residence, and then what it's going to do, it's going to give birth to envy. You're going to hate everything about those people. And then it's going to be bitterness, and you're going to be cynical and bitter toward them, because that's what it does. And so people who are dividers at heart, somebody wronged them somewhere, and rather than forgiving them, they held on to it, and that's what it's done within them. So they're operating out of a rottenness that's within them. I liken it to the cancer of the soul. And so that's where it starts. Number two, dividers are motivated by selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. Look at the second part of 14. If you harbor bitter envy and then selfish ambition in your hearts, it's motivated by selfish ambition. You ever been around somebody that no matter what you say, no matter what you do, it's always about them? Always. Always. They never ask you how your family's doing, right? I mean, think about this. You know, we have seen some friends recently that we haven't seen in years. And within the last couple of years, we've gotten to see some of them. And you know what's the first thing? We sat down at the table as friends. We went to eat at a restaurant locally. And we hadn't seen them in for so long. And we sat down at the table. And almost simultaneously, we began to ask each other about each other's family. Because that's what people who care about others do, right? But people who are selfish, they don't care about other people. It's only about them. I like to say there's some people they talk about, they love three people. Me, myself, and I. My dad walked into the funeral home the other day and saw one of his relatives. And my dad hadn't seen that person in a long time. And the first thing that person did when my dad walked in the funeral home was all of a sudden start talking about himself. You see, dividers don't care about the bigger picture. They don't care about other things. They don't care about the church at large. They don't care about the organization. They don't care about the business and about other people that work there. If you're in school, they don't care about your other classmates. All they care about is themselves. And they're motivated by selfish ambition. Always keep that in mind. What's motivating that person? What's at the core? Why are they doing it? Number three, dividers see things primarily from an earthly perspective. Now we're getting into it here. From an earthly perspective, the Bible says in verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. It's earthly. You see, a Christian that's walking in the Word, we have a broad perspective. Okay? First of all, we know we're living our lives for Christ. And we know that this is not our home. Now, we are tied to the earth right now. We are living in these bodies. A good amount of time is given to keeping these bodies upright and to allow us to do what we need to do. We have to go to the doctor. We've got to go to the dentist. We've got to do all these things because our body is falling apart and is decaying and we're getting older and that's all negative and I get all of that. And then we have to go to work and we have to make a living and all of those things. I get all of that. But for Christians, it's more than just that. We realize that we're not just living for ourselves, and we realize that everything that happens in our life is not by chance or accident. We realize there's a purpose behind every bit of it. But a divider, they just see things through their own little lens. We see the bigger picture. We realize there's coming a day where we're going to have to answer for what we've done with our Christianity. There's coming a day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to have to give an account for what we've done. Those of us who are saved, not to see whether or not we go to heaven or not, but to determine what kind of rewards we get and what we're going to do with those rewards is not brag and say, hey, come see my mansion. My mansion's got a bigger gold porch than yours, you know. We're not going to be doing that. That's not what it's for. We're going to take the rewards that we get, and we're going to lay them at the feet of Jesus. And I've said this before, but there's a group, a contemporary Christian singing group called Casting Crowns. It's talking about the passage in Revelation where the saints are going to cast their crowns at the feet of the Lamb of God and worship Him. And the crowns are what represents what you've done with your Christianity. We have a larger perspective of what's going on with our lives. And so we don't just see what's going on here on the earth. We see it beyond, and we know we're going to have to give an account. And there's some people, all they can see is the earthly. That's why the Bible says that when loved ones die, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope like others do. But we know the truth. And you see, dividers see things primarily from an earthly perspective. That's why it's incumbent upon them when somebody hurts them to retaliate. That's why it's incumbent upon them to hold that, because no one's got my back. I'm going to hold it against them. And you know, I'll tell you this, you know, going back to this, you know what the problem is when you hold stuff against other people? I'm just being honest with you. Most people are not thinking about you 24/7. They're living their lives, and they're living rent-free in your heart and mind and making you sick and keeping you up at night, and yet they're going about their lives, and they're probably not thinking about you. And you see, that's an earthly point of view. So if somebody's wronged you, and they won't get right with you, and the Bible says, live at peace with all people as much as depends on you. You can do what you can. If somebody doesn't want to be at peace with you, you can't do anything about it. You got to put it in the hands of God, because there's something far greater than just life on this earth. And they see things primarily from an earthly perspective. So it says they have selfish ambition, and the wisdom that they have does not come from heaven, but it is earthly. Notice the other thing. Number four, they are unspiritual, and their behavior is demonic. It says here in verse 15b, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Unspiritual people, and goes with point three, they just don't have the biblical understanding and perspective. So their whole world revolves around everything that's going on here and now and exactly what's happening to them. This is very, very common, and it happens a lot. And I see it happening more and more in ministry. When someone in a family dies, I usually have to have a meeting with somebody who says, "Now, Pastor, we need you to realize that, you know, we don't speak to so-and-so, or so-and-so doesn't speak to us, and we've got this issue here, and there's, you know, we might have this incident." And, you know, it's more common than it is not now. And then they start, "Well, what's the issue about?" "Well, you know, so-and-so, you know, they want this from dad, and they want that." And again, going back to earthly and demonic. But I tell you, you know where peace is made? Is when the spiritual person says, "I don't care about all this earthly stuff. It doesn't matter to me." You know, it's amazing. When Penny's mom passed away, her and her brother and her dad got together, and, you know, they wanted their mama back, right? But you can't have her back. So what do we do? What do we do with mom's things? And they sat down, and they said, and one of them was saying, "Well, never did one of them say, 'I want this,' and the other, 'I want that,' and 'I want,'" they were just like, "It doesn't matter." They both were saying, "What do you want? What do you want?" Now finally, we had to say, "Okay, you get this, you get that, you get it. You're happy with that? Yeah, yeah, we're happy. We don't care if he gets it all or she gets it all. It doesn't matter, because that doesn't matter to us." Isn't that refreshing? That was an example that I saw with my wife's family, which was amazing. And I saw that this week, too, in our family. When there were some potential divisions that could have wrecked a day to honor a man, people came together and put it aside. And I saw my sweet nanny show amazing grace and spirituality by behaving properly toward those that perhaps have wronged her at some point. And it was like going to church, man. For me, it was, you could feel it. You could feel the presence of God in a funeral service where healing was coming upon people because the Holy Spirit was free to do what he wanted to do, because the spiritual people in that place were opening up to him. Unspiritual people, they're motivated by demonic spirits. I'm telling you, you say, "Preacher, you know, you think demonic evil is Hitler or some mass murderer." No, the Bible talks about selfishness being evil. And unspiritual people divide people. One last thing I want you to see here. Dividers. Dividers create chaos. Tell me if this doesn't look familiar to you. Dividers create chaos, drama, disunity, which paves the way for all kinds of evil. It says in verse 16, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder." The word is chaos, and it also has the concept of division, disunity in the Greek. There you find disorder and every evil practice. So dividers are used by Satan to create chaos, drama, and disunity, which paves the way then for all kinds of evil to take place. Now, the two places that I've seen disunity and where I've seen dividers do their greatest damage are in these two places. Number one, the family. And number two, the church. I've seen it over the years. And I can guarantee you this, every time, it's motivated from selfish ambition. And I've told people in the past, you know, what you're wanting to stand for may be right in your eyes. You may think it's right. Even if I think it's wrong, you may think it's right. But the way you're going about it all of a sudden wipes out every good thing that you seem to be standing for, because you're violating Scripture all along the way to get to the end. And what happens is you create chaos. I say it like this. As a pastor, there are some people sometimes in church that they mean well, but they do wrong things, and they're motivated out of selfish ambition, and they leave a bunch of dead bodies along the side of the road for the pastor to come and pick up. Create chaos and drama. That's the new word today. We've been going on for a while. But drama. Drama kings and drama queens. You know, it's not just girls that create drama. I know some men that do it too. Drama, drama, drama. And I'll tell you where that drama comes from. It's because that person is so selfish that they're willing to create that chaos to get their way, to make themselves feel better. And all it does, it creates disunity, and then it paves the way for all kinds of evil. You say, preacher, why are you spending time on that today? Isn't there a bunch of other things you could be preaching about? You're going to leave this place today, and you're going to encounter somebody like this. You're going to leave this place today, and you're going to go to work this week with somebody like this. You're going to go to school this week with somebody like that. You're going to be in church with somebody like that. Now, what do we do with that somebody? We're to be patient with them. We're to love them. But as we studied in Sunday school today, we're to rebuke them with the Word of God. We're to rebuke them with truth. We're to encourage them and help them to grow and be what God wants them to be. And I'm just going to tell you, one thing that I love about our church is we don't stand for that kind of drama around here too much. And I like it. I like the fact that some of you will hold other people accountable and say, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to have that here. It takes our focus off. And some people leave our church because they know that their drama is not welcome. And that's all right. It paves the way for all kinds of evil. So you've got to realize that. There are dividers all over the place. You say, well, what should I do about that, preacher? Number one, don't be that person. That's number one. Number two, be a unifier. Be the kind of person that when you show up in a place, people are happy that you're there for the most part. Be that person. It's not always about you. I was asked to speak in a Catholic church on Thursday at a funeral. I'm a Baptist preacher. That's oil and water, man. It ain't pretty. But I was a guest. It wasn't my pulpit. And so I wanted to be a unifier, not a divider. And I spoke truth, and I used John 14:6, where the Bible says, Jesus is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And I laid it out. I said, you're not going to the Father because you're a Baptist. You're not going to the Father because you're a Catholic. My Uncle Jimmy, you know, he came to a place where he had to receive Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. That's why he's going to heaven. But my goal there was to speak truth and to speak it with a gracious heart, understanding that I'm a guest in that place. And as a matter of fact, later on, he went off script. The priest actually alluded twice to my comments and actually supported what I said. Now, truth divides, yes. But truth divides not for demonic reasons, but for godly, spiritual reasons to get people in line with God. The Bible says we are enemies of God. And it's Jesus Christ who's the reconciler. So don't be a divider. Be a unifier. I told my family, and I told it to them individually, especially those that were involved in the rift. And I said, you will never regret not having a nasty incident on the day of your loved one's funeral. You'll never regret that. But you'll always regret if you do have one. You always will. And I'm telling you that to help you. Because on that day, people look at it as this. We're here to honor the person that passed away. And it's ugly, no matter if you're the one in the right. It's ugly when you take the focus off of what you're there for that day. And so I had a chance with God's leadership to talk with them and to explain to them, because they both asked me to speak on their behalf. Y'all want my job? They both asked me to speak on their behalf. And how am I going to do that without offending this one? And then when I speak on that person's behalf, how am I going to do it without offending them? And so I looked at the kids and I said, your daddy was special to you, and he will always be your daddy. And I told the other one, I said, that's their daddy, and he's special to them. And then the other one, I said, that was his wife, and she was special to him, and he was special to her. And y'all both exclusively have your own memories and your own part in that. But guess what? He's the one that brings you together. So let's be together. And God showed up and brought unity there that was not there. Not because I'm this great unifier, but because the great unifier showed up. And the Bible talks about it. Look, it says it here in James, and it says, wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And so what God gave our family this week was a harvest of righteousness, because everybody involved put their selfishness aside. And what it created was not division, but it created unity, and the Spirit of God was there. And we were able to have a wonderful time together and eat and after it was over and tell stories and spend time together and have moments that we'll never forget. Moments in time that unified us and brought us together and furthered the cause of Christ and unity among people. Man, that was a beautiful thing. Can y'all tell I'm high over that? I don't smoke the funny stuff. I don't drink. Except water. You come to my house, preacher, what you got to drink? Water. You don't have no sweet tea? Well, sweet tea keeps me up at night, so I can't drink it. No, man. We had the sweet Spirit of God. I'll just tell you, it's a lot more fun and life is a lot less stressful when you have unity than when you have division. I'll tell you this, and then we're going to shut it down here. as a pastor over the years, there's some people, the only time they like being in church and there's a good fight. I found that out about some people. I said, man, they're good. They're good. They help us. They get on the right side. But that's the only time I can depend on them, when there's fighting going on. Don't be that person. Don't be like that. Be a unifier. Let God handle that. You and I are not the judge of people's souls. I'm going to love them to Jesus. We had a couple of people in our family that were there that lived totally contrary to what we believe. Big time. You know what they got from me? Love and a hug. Now, they didn't talk to me about the way they were living, because if they would have, they'd have got it in love, but they'd have got the truth. But that wasn't the time nor the place. God will always honor a person who's seeking to bring peace from a biblical perspective. So, be careful now. You can identify a divider based on Scripture. Now, you don't go become the divider police and say, you're a divider, you're a divider, you're a divider, you're a divider, and therefore all of a sudden you're dividing everybody. But recognize what's happening. See it for what it is. If you have the opportunity or the authority or you're in that position, you call it out, but you call it out in love. You call it out and you have some answers. And you try to find out what's deep within that person that's causing them to be that way. Now, the Bible does say in some places, people who do those things and don't want to repent, to avoid them. You know how you can have less drama in your life? First of all, don't cause it. But secondly, if you're not causing it, get away from those who do. So it's incumbent upon us as Christians to be unifiers, to recognize the heart of division and where it comes from, and not be that person. And let God use you to bring people together, not to separate people apart. Would you stand with me, everybody? So, Father, I was able to witness your amazing unifying power, unifying us in the truth of the gospel. I thank you for what you did. I thank you for the peace that you brought to our family this week, because we humbled ourselves, me included, to put aside whatever issues we have. And then we let you work. And you worked. You did amazing things. God, how I pray for families, even within our church, who have some serious divisions going on. May those who are spiritual rise up and take the lead in living spiritually and doing the right thing. Help us to check our pride at the foot of the cross, to humbly accept your ways for our life. Father, I pray for the person that's being attacked or being that's dealing with that kind of person at work or at home. And the subtlety, Lord, we know is that if we don't watch it, we'll end up acting just like that in retaliation. So help us, Heavenly Father, to not be earthly minded, but to be spiritually minded, so we can see beyond it and past it and see it the way you see other people. Help us to see that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age. Help us to have compassion for those who don't believe like us and for those who live contrary to the Word of God, and help us to pray for them. So if God's dealing with you, and maybe that's something that's going on in your heart, we're not here to condemn you. Maybe you've been bitter about something. I have over the years. I've had to battle that, and I've had to get right with God over it. And maybe God has shown you today, that's it. That's the problem within me. I've got unforgiveness, and I'm bitter, and I've got envy, and I'm angry. Today, you got to get set free, sir, ma'am. And let God cleanse you and bring joy back to your heart. It's not to say that what they did to you is right, but it's not for you to correct. God will deal with that. You want to get free? You can be free, because the Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm going to encourage you to obey God. I'll be standing here. If you want to make a decision, if you want to get right with God, if you want to come to this altar and pray, whatever you want to do, maybe you want to pray for your office where you work, your classroom at school, your family who are dealing with some issues of division. It takes years sometimes and a lot of prayer. Let God direct you. Father, we thank you, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. As our team leads us, this is your time to respond to God. This altar is open to pray for you to respond to Him. Amen.